I cannot tell you the pride I feel that as Mayor of London, I can officially welcome you in the biggest political demonstration in 2,000 years of British history.
The Bush administration tries to generate fear and hysteria, tactics reminiscent of the McCarthy era.
An administration of liars and murderers who curse us because we stand in the way of their tyranny.
Those who are going to be killed in Iraq are not collateral damage.
This is Pacifica's Peace Watch for Monday, February 17th, 2003. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Millions of anti-war protesters around the world marched and rallied over the weekend, delivering the Bush administration a dramatic rebuff of its war agenda. Half a million anti-war activists braved frigid temperatures and a chilling police presence in New York on Saturday to deliver the Bush team a political message: the world says no to war. The massive rally got underway despite a ruling from the federal courts denying the organizers a permit to march to the United Nations building a number of blocks away from the rally site. But the irrepressible spirit of the movement was difficult to contain, and activists pressed through iron police barricades which sought to prevent the hundreds of thousands from hearing the speakers with feeder marches. A host of voices from around the world were present in what is being characterized as one of the largest demonstrations to take place since the Vietnam War. Nobel Peace Prize recipient Desmond Tutu was among the speakers.
Those who are going to be killed in Iraq are not collateral damage. They are human beings of flesh and blood. They are children. They are mothers. They are brothers. They are grandfathers. They are our sisters and brothers. For we belong in one family, the human family. Now, I ask you, what do you say to war?
No!
What do you say to death and destruction?
No!
What do you say to peace?
No!
What do you say to life?
No!
What do you say to freedom?
We are fearful of the effects of an attack on Iraq. We're concerned about collateral damage to our economy and our civil liberties. We're suspicious of the motives of our government. We're opposed both to unilateral action and to policy, however multinational, in pursuit of empire,
Julian
not world
Bond,
peace.
Executive Director of the NAACP.
Those of us gathered here today differ in many, many different ways. But by our presence here, we share an enduring love of our country, an abiding faith in its institutions, its traditions, and its love of liberty. One of those traditions is the right, the responsibility, and the requirement to examine the action of our leaders, to call them to account, to oppose them when they are wrong. And today they are wrong, and we are right to protest here today. We know that the Bush administration directed its energies toward removing Saddam Hussein since just after the tragedy of September 11th, although little evidence then or now connects Iraq with the attack or their sponsors. And we know that concentration on war with Iraq was contrived, at least in part, as a political strategy designed to win the recent midterm congressional elections. From a moral point of view, it was shameless. It served to obscure the erosion of our civil liberties, assaults on justice and equality, the evaporation of pensions and retirement benefits, the shift in our economy from surplus to growing deficit, the calamity of corporate crime, and it concealed record unemployment. On September 11th, President Bush spoke here in New York before the United Nations, reassuring our allies and our enemies alike that multilateralism, cooperation, would be the hallmarks of his approach to Iraq. But just 8 days later, the administration announced a frightening new doctrine, preemption, erasing for the first time the distinction between preemptive and preventive war, and also erasing our moral standing across the globe. Now, to their presumption of preemption, we answer no. No, not when an attack on Iraq may result in use of weapons of mass destruction. No, not when an invasion of Iraq may induce that country to transfer weapons of mass destruction to other groups. No, not when Iraq does not appear to present any imminent threat, and while Osama bin Laden still does.
This is our land, and this is our home, and we do not want to be on foreign shores trying to propagate a philosophy of international domination rather than to uplift those that have been downtrodden.
The Reverend
Al Sharpton. There is no justification for war. The real patriots are standing up in the shadows of the United Nations today saying, give peace a chance. We don't apologize. Give peace a chance. We won't back down. Give peace a chance, because we feel to save human life, to save our world from a nuclear confrontation, is what we all desire for our children.
You can say that all of us are terrorists, madmen bent on destroying all that's free. You can say that we are building weapons as your bombers fly from
Senator David Rovitz.
You can say you're with us or against us, and to die quietly is what we now must do. You can maintain your innocence. You can say that you are many as you represent the few. But there will always be resistance. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose. Because our future is not yours to choose.
We are here to challenge the Bush administration's strategy of pretending to defend democracy by trampling upon people's democratic rights.
Angela Davis.
This is a historic protest, and we link our protests against the war on Iraq to the historic 1982 March to the United Nations, a march of 1 million people demanding nuclear disarmament. 21 years later, as we say, no war on Iraq, we are still calling for nuclear disarmament. It is ironic how the term weapons of mass destruction has become inextricably linked to Iraq. Have we forgotten which country claims the largest nuclear arsenal in the world? And so, yes, we say no weapons of mass destruction should be in the hands of any government in the world. The Bush administration tries to generate fear and hysteria, tactics reminiscent of the McCarthy era. Tom Ridge hoped to set off a national march to hardware stores for plastic sheeting and duct tape. We are here today because we are concerned about the deterioration of political culture instigated by George W. Bush. He has lowered the level of political discourse to discussions about evildoers and hunts for terrorists. This simplistic political discourse is fundamentalist in its impulse. It is designed to stop critical thinking. It is designed to prevent us from recognizing the U.S. government's and corporate designs on Iraq's oil. Our responsibility to stop the war on Iraq is a responsibility to the future. We cannot allow the U.S. government to establish a precedent that justifies future assaults, especially on peoples of the southern region of the world. We are here because we are concerned about rising poverty in our own country. We are concerned about attacks against single mothers, about structural racism, about homophobia, about the incarceration of what the government considers disposable populations. We are concerned about the continued repression of political prisoners, including Mumia Abu-Jamal, and the five Cubans in Florida. We are concerned about the symbiotic relationship between the prison industrial complex and the military industrial complex. But we feel heartened that key members of the UN Security Council are resisting the rhetorical tricks of Colin Powell. And the French Foreign Minister, Dominique de Villepin, evoked the rapidly developing global anti-war movement when he said yesterday, give peace a chance. We are here because we stand together in solidarity with the September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. And we are heartened because we know that our bodies, our voices, our hearts do make a difference.
We've overcome the obstacles that have been placed in our path on this journey by the city of New York and the state of New York and the federal institutions. Yet we overcome our own fear to be here today, because only with the acknowledgement of that fear do we demonstrate our real courage to stand up today. But we're here. We stand
here. Activist Danny Glover.
Because our right to dissent and our right to be participants in a true democracy has been hijacked in an administration of liars and murderers who curse us because we stand in the way of their tyranny, who curse us because we stand in the way of their unholy and brutal agenda, an administration whose villainy and greed is insatiable. We stand at this threshold of history and say to them, not in our names, not in our names.
This the media causing mass hysteria in all areas. They're all carriers of false information. All barriers to true emancipation is scarier when you're aware how they're connected to corporations. Turn off your TVs and don't believe their news. Don't read their views, they'll keep you confused. Forget how to tie shoes. Talking about pulling yourself while you use bootstraps. Now who's strapped? Who's strapped?
The welfare poets, hip hop.
People in decades abused because they're brown and black. Just like down in Afghanistan and in Iraq. It's a part of their plan, a world domination. Control the land, its resources, and set up corporations. So if there wasn't oil in the Middle East, would there be a reason for war, a reason to declare peace? Would the Israelis be able to occupy the Bethlehem streets if they weren't back from the beginning by the U.S. held by the heat? Yo, can we speak? Did you peep our America, Bogart, Mecca? May the call for the Jihad complete. Let's get deep and make leaps. It's a part of the history.
And from New York to Cairo, there were millions protesting the war in Iraq, while in Baghdad itself, there were protests, but the mood is far more solemn and anxious. The streets were filled Sunday with an assortment of enlisted Iraqi soldiers, armed civilians, and international peace protesters. They're all in the same line of fire, and though not carrying the same message, they all urged the U.S. to consult the U.N. and world opinion. Pacifica correspondent Jeremy Scahill spoke with Pacifica's Dennis Bernstein of Flashpoints.
There were very large demonstrations today in Baghdad, tens of thousands of Iraqis taking to multiple parts of the city today, marching and chanting slogans in support of the Iraqi president, Saddam Hussein, some of them brandishing Kalashnikov rifles, clear message from Iraq that this is an armed population. The official line is that the people are going to resist a U.S. invasion, but to be quite frank about it, many, many people are very afraid, and I think that the primary fear right now that people have is for their children. And So many people are talking about leaving Baghdad and other urban areas and going to more rural areas of Iraq. But again, these demonstrations were very, very large. They were very tightly secured. One has to remember that these recent reports that the United States has inserted U.S. special forces into Iraq, I think that that to some degree has increased the tensions here. I think that there are fears of possible sabotage, not just in Baghdad, but in other areas around Iraq. Now, while the Iraqis were demonstrating in areas throughout the city in a separate action, a group of about 200 international activists marched through the streets of Baghdad. They marched past offices of the United Nations, where they processed to the Al-Rashid Bridge in downtown Baghdad at 12 noon local time. They had a moment of silence for 1 minute. They're asking people to stop what they're doing for 1 minute every day at noon to stop the war. That was the call that came from the activists today to activists around the world. Every day at noon, stop for 1 minute to stop the war. Now, the activists are not just American and not just from Voices in the Wilderness or the Iraq Peace Team. Caravan of people came from the Balkans, from Bulgaria, Slovenia, as well as from Poland. You also had Japanese drummers and dancers from Okinawa, Japan, who chanted through the streets of Baghdad today. You had activists who came from Italy, from Spain, from all across the globe. Activists are now beginning to slowly pour into Baghdad. Some of them say that they are here to stand with ordinary Iraqi people. Others say that they intend to serve as human shields and to spread out at sites like electrical facilities, water treatment facilities, and other civilian infrastructure in the country to protect them against U.S. bombs. But overwhelmingly, what you're hearing from the activists here is that they want to try to prevent a war. There is very little fatalism among the activists, particularly those that have just arrived. They say that they are here to stop a war.
Pacifica correspondent Jeremy Scahill speaking from Baghdad. Thousands of people took to the streets of Damascus over the weekend to the largest demonstration against the war in the Arab world. The demonstration was organized by Syria's dictatorial Baathist government, one of Iraq's few strong allies in the Middle East. Other Arab capitals saw smaller demonstrations. From Amman, Jordan, Aaron Glantz reports.
The streets of the Arab world were quiet this weekend, while hundreds of thousands took to the streets of New York, Paris, Berlin, and London. The anti-war demonstrations in Cairo garnered only 600 participants. In Saudi Arabia, there was no demonstration at all. On the streets of Amman, turnout was limited to a few thousand diehards from the Muslim Brotherhood and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, groups that want the Jordanian government to war on Israel instead of Iraq. Monir Kamarne is president of the Higher Coordination Committee for all political parties.
The people who were killed in Afghanistan and Palestine, this is the fault of imperialism caused by the Zionists. This is what is behind the calls for war.
Analysts here attribute the low turnout in the Arab world to the oppressive nature of the regimes. Dr. Fawzi Ali Samhouri is a human rights activist. His organization, the Jordanian Society for Civil Rights, was banned by the government last September.
You know, the people here, they will be angry, but the people here still, there is many of them, I think they are afraid of going to express their views from the consequences of that after that. If they will be detained or they will be followed by the government or not, this is a big question of that. And I told you again that the people here, they don't believe a big confidence on their public leadership, because they know in a critical point they might be then they cancel any activity. Why this is on the long run, if there will be democratic atmosphere, then that is to be the responsibility of the civic society to organize something against the war, to express their views, because any war, it is against the human rights because it affects the lives of the civilians.
Arab leaders have called a war inevitable and told gatherings of world leaders it would take a miracle to stop the war. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak told a press conference, opposing the war makes Arab leaders look, quote, ridiculous. At the semi-official Egyptian news agency described the Iraqi regime as, quote, a catastrophe for the Iraqi and pan-Arab nation. But after Friday's debate at the UN Security Council and this weekend's demonstrations, the Arab regime seemed to have changed their tune. Amir Moussa, Secretary General of the Arab League, speaking at a foreign ministers' meeting in Cairo.
We will not accept an attack on any Arab country or Arab area, and Arabs will not cooperate.
And yet, U.S. troops and ships continue to arrive across the Arab world. There are American troops on the ground in Jordan, Bahrain, Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt. Dr. Husni Shayab is a professor of political science at Jordan University. He says undemocratic Arab regimes find themselves in a difficult situation because their only legitimacy comes from the United States.
This is a very precarious situation for them. If I was one of them, I would be careful because, first of all, being alienated from my people, losing my legitimacy, and depending on the Americans, what might happen if the Americans change their mind for their own strategic purposes on the medium and long run, which seems to be the case at this time.
The result, says Dr. Husni Shayab, is an increasingly alienated populace, more likely to organize an act of terrorism than a peaceful protest in the street. For Pacifica's Peace Watch, I'm Aaron Glantz in Amman, Jordan.
You loved your sweet country for all of your life, like your mother and father before you. And the land runs deep, so deep in your blood, your flesh and your bone and your sinews. Descendants and ancestors deep as it goes, a relative circle as far as your eye. It can all be undone in the flash of an instant, mechanical thunder that bruises the sky, bruises the sky. Goodbye to my relatives all of my life, never again will I see. You won't have a name when they fly the big airplanes. Collateral damage is all you will be, all you will be. From a faraway place where the language is strange, they come with their angry machines. And the clouds rain a metal that hurts when it falls, and it shatters the ground, making everything scream. And the children run crippled, the old people hide, the babies are caught in the rubble debris. But the strangers don't know you, you are only a number, underreported on color TV, color TV. Goodbye to my relatives all of my life, never again will I see. You won't have a name when you hear the big airplanes. Collateral damage is all you will be, all you will be. A mother is more than a number to a baby who now has to grow up on its own. And a grandfather blinded and crippled at his age is more than just a statistical drone. All of these people are human, and humans are more than a footnote. This cynical language of killing is killing us, cut like a bone in humanity's throat, humanity's throat. Goodbye to my relatives all of my life, never again will I see. You won't have a name when they fly the big airplanes. Collateral damage is all you will be, all you will be.
Jim Page, Collateral Damage. Anti-war protests dotted the globe, from as far away as Arab Street to the president's own Texas backyard. In El Paso, Texas, 50 protesters met 50 more fellow peace activists from Juarez on the Santa Fe Bridge between Texas and Mexico to demonstrate their opposition to an invasion into Iraq. 150 people gathered at the federal building in Galveston. 1,500 protesters gathered in downtown San Antonio, 4,000 in Dallas. In Austin, 10,000 people took over the streets marching from the Capitol building. And in Houston, the largest anti-war demonstration in the city's history drew over 3,000 people together in the Energy Center, energy capital of the United States. The Houston Independent Media Center and Pacifica Station KPFT bring us this next segment.
Let me play you a tune about a Texas buffoon and his rich evil right wing.
There are few opportunities in Houston that I found to do anything of this nature, and just the grand scale of it, it's an exciting thing to be a part of.
Now the world's in turmoil, so they can get all the oil. It's part of their takeover scheme.
Disagree, we call it treason. Let's make love not for this season, even if we have no reason. Bomb Iraq! Isn't that absurd?
Do you guys have two beautiful golden retrievers here, I think?
They're golden retriever mutts. One's part Saluki, one's part Chow. And they're very peaceful dogs.
They get along and they work things out.
And they have signs on them that say dogs for diplomacy and then dog inspectors.
Yeah, this is Stella, and she's a dog inspector. She works very slowly. She sniffs out peace wherever it can be found. And she really takes her time. I don't think she finishes a job in less than a year, maybe 2 years, something like that. So, and I think everyone should wait until she is really done with her job before they make any decisions or do anything.
Are y'all sending her to Iraq?
We'd like to get her there. Yeah, both of them, Ginny and Stella, they would do good work. They're very earnest, and as long as they have food and water, decent pay, decent wages, they would do a very good job. I think they're underutilized resources right now.
George Bush is deranged. I tell you, he surely is crazed. Says Saddam's a cat, but he's just as bad. The world needs its consciousness raised. So what do we do? Won't you give me
a... You have this very interesting sign here that says, I'm anti-war, not pro-Saddam. Tell me about it.
Well, I just thought of that because as I talk to people about my feelings about the war, I find that a lot of people think that I am pro-Saddam. Immediately they think, well, if we don't go to war, then you must want those poor people to suffer in Iraq. And that's not the case at all. So I wanted anybody that was looking to notice that that is not my stance. I'm not pro-Saddam. I don't want him to stay in power, but I don't want all those people in Iraq to get killed on his behalf. And also, they talk about liberation of Iraq, and I just don't see how dead people can be liberated, you know, if we go and kill everybody. So that's why I have my sign the way it is.
And deliver us from our sad fate. And deliver us from our sad fate. And deliver us from our sad fate.
This segment was provided by Renee Feltz of Pacifica Station KPFT and the Houston Independent Media Center. You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. We'll be back in a moment.